The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter number 5. John, chapter number 5. And beginning in verse 39, John chapter 5, and beginning in verse 39. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I have not received honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had you believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'd help me as I preach this message this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, that Holy Spirit, you would take the Word of God and bring conviction and challenge us. And so I ask, Lord, that you'd please use me this morning despite my own faults and failures, but that you would use me as your instrument and as your vessel. And I pray that, Lord, you'd move in our midst unhindered. I pray that we would just take these next several minutes and just reflect upon your word, reflect upon who you are, reflect upon what you have provided for each of us. I pray for that one or that two, however many may be here that have never received Christ as their Savior. I would pray that today would be the day that they'd fall under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God and become a child of God. Thank you again for the privilege and the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things now in His precious name and by the power of His precious blood. Amen. Some years ago, I started every 4th of July putting in the bulletin the Declaration of Independence. It's a document that really, as Americans, I think that we ought to read through at least once a year and remind ourselves of that document that Thomas Jefferson penned and what it meant to our nation and the forming of our nation, and what a great document it is. In fact, it's been said to be one of the greatest documents that's ever been written on the face of the planet. And we enjoy freedoms today because of what took place here in this country over 200 years ago. But as great as that document is, and as much as it should mean to us as Americans, it really pales to us, or pales in consideration with the Word of God. There is no document like the Word of God, the Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. And so we see in John chapter number 5, when Jesus is speaking there, he says, "Search the Scriptures." And I want to preach to you about that this morning, the importance of searching the Scriptures. "Search the Scriptures," he said, "for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which speak of me." You know, the Bible, the Word of God, down through history, has had an unbelievable influence, not only on our country, but on just cultures around the world. Everything from the art world to the music world, to the sciences, and then our founding fathers. Let me just give you a couple of quick examples. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that these men I'm going to mention were born again. Because you see, the Bible has, the greatest influence the Bible can have on anyone is for a man or a woman, boy or girl, to accept Christ as their Savior and to be born again. That's the greatest influence of all. But the Bible is so powerful, and it's had influences on people who aren't born again. It's had influences on whole cultures that aren't born again. So let me just give you a couple of examples. For instance, in the art world, people like Leonardo da Vinci and Rembrandt and Raphael and Michelangelo, some of the great artists of yesteryear, all of these men, their paintings were influenced by the scriptures, by the word of God. Composers like Mendelssohn and Beethoven and Handel, probably Handel's Messiah, one of the greatest pieces of music that was ever written. Do you realize in that piece of music, 15 books of the Bible are quoted in Handel's Messiah? So it had a tremendous impact upon these men. In the world of science, let me just give you one example. I thought this was a really great example. There's a man by the name, if you were to travel to Richmond, Virginia today and go to the Annapolis Academy, outside of the academy, the founder was Matthew Murray, and there's a statue of him there. And Matthew Murray was sick, and he was in bed one day, and his son was reading to him the Bible and just comforting him. And he read to his dad, he read Psalm 8:8, which says this: "The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea." And as Matthew Murray lay in his bed, he thought, the paths of the sea. Well, there must be paths. If God said there's paths in the sea, there must be paths in the sea. So he said that to his son. And he wrote the first textbook of oceanography called The Physical Geography of the Sea, because he heard it from the Word of God. Great authors, many that we can mention. But a man by the name of General Lew Wallace was a territorial governor following the Civil War. He was a senator in the state of Indiana at the age of 29, and he was considered in his day one of the most scholarly men of that time. He had no confidence in Christianity whatsoever. And in fact, like many, he set out as a skeptic to prove the Bible was wrong, to disprove it. But in his study of the Bible, he came to know Christ as his Savior. And he became a devout Christian. And then he would author the Christian classic, Ben-Hur. That's the power of the Word of God. Many men and many women have set out to disprove the Bible only as they've read it to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and have come to know Christ as their Savior. I was listening to some politicians the other day, and one of the people who are running for President of the United States is a woman by the name of Carly Fiorina. She was the former head of Hewlett-Packard, and one of her daughters died years ago of a drug overdose. And she was being interviewed about her faith, and she claims now to be a born-again believer. And she said, well, I had a pastor friend who witnessed to us and to my husband. We were going through a very dark and difficult time. And he was faithful in that witness. But then she said, it dawned on me, being in the technological field and all. She said, if mankind can come up with a GPS system, and if mankind can figure out where everybody is through a piece of machinery, where they are all over the earth, if man can do that, then certainly God has got to be much greater than that. And she said that to her field that she was in, it caused her to think about, there must be a God in heaven. And she came to know that God as her Savior. The fathers of our nation, George Washington, probably one of his most well-known quotes when he said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without the Bible. One of the songs that we sang today, In God We Trust. You know, when I was in Washington this past March, when they redid the Capitol building and they refurnished one of the areas where you walk through where the motto, In God We Trust, is, they did not want to put that motto back up on the wall there. There was a fight among those in Congress not to put that back up. But there were certain senators and congressmen that said, no, 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 no. That's going back up on the wall. Patrick Henry said, the Bible is worth all other books which has ever been printed. Abraham Lincoln, I believe the Bible is the best gift ever given to man. Teddy Roosevelt said, if a man is not familiar with the Bible, he has suffered a loss which he had better make all possible haste to correct. A thorough knowledge, he said, of the Bible is worth more than a college education. And we could go on in quotes and different people that have been impacted and affected by the Scriptures, by the Word of God. Have you ever been several years ago when we were in New Jersey for a conference, we traveled over to Philadelphia and we showed the kids the Liberty Bell. And there, of course, you know on the Liberty Bell is Leviticus 25:10, which says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. And by the way, too, I'm not preaching on this morning, but just if I could just chase a rabbit for just a minute or two. We are going to see in the days ahead more and more ungodly influence trying to convince us as Americans that we did not have a godly heritage. All you need to do is travel to Washington and look at the monuments and the buildings and look at the documents to see that we have a godly heritage. And again, I'm not saying that every single one of our forefathers were born-again believers, but they were influenced by the Word of God and by the things of God. And we need to be mindful of that and not to forget that. I mean, when they built the Washington Monument, in the base of the Washington Monument is buried a King James Bible. It was pretty important to them for that to take place, that Bible had an influence on our culture. And it's a sad time today in our land where the Bible is not having the same influence that it once had on our culture. That many people they don't know what the Bible says. They have a very superficial knowledge of what the Bible says. But it is the most important document that's ever been penned. It is the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration and it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. There is no more important document than anyone can own than the Word of God and the things of God. That's why Jesus said, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. And God has preserved His Word for us, that you and I today may have it, that we can look to it and find all of the answers to life. Listen, there is, I think I put this on your handout idea. James chapter 1 and verse 25 says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, well, the book that you hold in your hand, this is the law of liberty, amen? The Word of God. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Listen, my friend, there is no greater liberty that you can have than to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is where all liberty comes from. And so, you can live in a country like ours that we still have the freedoms and the abilities to do. There are some of these freedoms are being challenged today, but we still live in a free country. I was watching the news the other night, and I was listening to a man who's not a Christian. He's a news reporter. They were talking about America and what America represents. He said this. It was Geraldo Rivera. Many of you know that name. He said, I've been in 110 foreign countries. And I can tell you, he said, that in every single one of those countries, the people who live in those countries want to come to America. That's the country that we live in. And the country that we live in is the country that we live in, and because I really believe that this country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And those are under attack today. But listen, whether you live in this country or you live in one of the worst regimes in the world, the North Korean culture, you could live in the North Korean culture under horrible oppression, but if you know Christ as your Savior, you have a soul liberty that many people in this country know nothing about. They know nothing about it. We have all the freedoms, all the materialism, all that you could want. And yet there are many people today, they're hungry. There's something missing from their life, and they don't know what it is. They feel captive. They feel as if they're in bondage, and many of them are. They're enslaved, and they're in bondage to sin. Yet some poor North Korean who suffers for his faith, or she suffers for his faith, and has been often deprived of family relationships, deprived of food, deprived of a physical liberty, has a freedom in Christ that probably some of us will know very little about, even in our lifetime, even as believers. Search the Scriptures. This is a very simple message this morning. There are 3 points to the message. First was the plan. I'm really basically preaching verse 39. Search the Scriptures. In them, that's the plan. God gave us a plan. God gave us a plan and wrote it down. In them. In what? In the Scriptures. In the Scriptures. You know, it said of the church in Berea this, in Acts chapter number 17 and verse 11. It says of the Bereans that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And it goes on to say, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily. Daily. Now, I'm going to step on a few toes this morning, but listen, you can never be all that God wants you to be unless you're searching the Scriptures each and every day of your life. You can't be what God wants you to be. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you're this or you're that. I'm just saying you can't be what God wants you to be unless you're searching the Scriptures each and every day of your life. They searched the Scriptures daily in Berea. When I was growing up in the Hydewood Park Baptist Church, I don't know why I never forgot this, but because I really wasn't interested in Christianity then. But the adult class was called the Berean class. I had no idea then. Well, wonder why they call themselves the Bereans. Well, because the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily. It was a great name for an adult class. It was to remind them the importance of searching the Scriptures daily. So Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the Scriptures. Search them, for in them, in the Word of God, in the things of God that have been written down for us. That's the plan. That's the plan. To understand God's plan, you've got to be in the Word of God. In Galatians chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5, it says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. See, long before the New Testament was written, the Old Testament was written. And all through the Old Testament, it was pointing to the day, to the time that Christ would come, that He would come and deliver you and I from our sin and to deliver the world from sin. When the fullness of time was come, God had a plan and God had a purpose. And God is still fulfilling that plan and fulfilling that purpose. The plan and the purpose for Jesus Christ was to come and die for the sins of the world. Scriptures are an account of that time. Scriptures are the events leading up to the coming of the Lord. Scriptures are an account to when the Lord was here. Scriptures are an account of when the Lord ascended into heaven. Scriptures are an account of that which is yet to come. Scriptures are an account of your life and my life. We look into the perfect law of liberty. And James calls it a mirror, a glass. And in that we see, it was the plan of God for you and I to hear the Word of God and to look into that mirror, and the reflection that comes back as you and I read the Word of God is that we are sinners. We are sinners in need of a Savior. That's the reflection. That was the plan. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Search the Scriptures, Jesus said. And it's ironic, but Jesus is saying this to a crowd that had the Scriptures. Did you notice as we read a little bit further down? Look what it says in verse 45. He says to them, do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. This was a Jewish audience. They knew the Jewish Scriptures. They knew Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He goes on and he says this. He says, for if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? You see, it is perfectly possible for you to own a copy of the Word of God. It's perfectly possible for you to own a dozen copies of the Word of God and not really search the Scriptures and not receive Christ as your Savior. To find some other way. Search the Scriptures. For in them, that's the plan. For whatsoever written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Our hope is in what does the Word of God say? What is the plan that God laid out? But then there's the purpose. What's laid out for us? Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's what we have, eternal. That's the purpose, that you and I could have eternal life. Brother Norm sang a number of songs this morning about heaven. Ethan talked somewhat in Sunday school. We talked about the fact that we're believers and we're going to heaven. Heaven's real. Amen? Heaven's real. Norm saying, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Heaven's real. We're not going to be here forever. My daughter is away this weekend up in Virgins at Victory Baptist with one of her friends, and she texted us yesterday, and she said, would you please pray for, I believe it's the Tulos family. Their daughter was a schoolmate at Pensacola with Talitha. And if I understood the message completely, it wasn't my daughter's schoolmate, but it was her sister was killed yesterday in a motorcycle accident. As far as I know, she was a believer, and I think one of my sons told me she was actually going to go on a missions internship. I'm not sure of all that. So that family is going through a tough time, but they have hope. They have hope. And you and I, we know we have lost loved ones, and we miss them, but we have hope. We have hope because they've accepted Christ as their Savior. Because they searched the Scriptures. They understood the plan, and they understood the purpose. The purpose was so that Jesus would come, and Jesus would die and pay for our sin. So you and I, we would have eternal life. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, eternity is a wonderful thing. One day we're going to spend eternity together. One day there'll be a great reunion in heaven because of Christ, because that was the plan. That's why Jesus came, because He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to spend all of eternity with us. The purpose was to come and to give us eternal life, and the Scriptures teach us of that. In the book of Acts, if time would allow, we could go through the book of Acts. Let me give you a couple of examples. The importance of the Word of God. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, and the Word of God increased. In other words, they preached, and they preached, and they preached, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. That's how disciples multiply. We preach the Word of God. We witness the Word of God. We share the Word of God. We invite people to hear the Word of God. And people come to know Christ as their Savior. The Scriptures, in them, you think you have eternal life. You do have eternal life. They're found in the Scriptures, the plan and the purpose. Acts 13:44, and the next Sabbath day came the whole city together to hear the Word of God. Listen, I spoke with someone, actually it was Jim Thompson, when he grew up in North Adams in the 1950s, he said, you had to get to church early, any church, to find a seat. I mean, the college baseball team in town is called the Steeplecats because there are so many church steeples in North Adams. You had to get to church early to find a seat. The churches were packed and filled with people. They came to hear the Word of God. And it's a shame today that for many people, the Word of God is not important at all. And people have no hope. That's the purpose. Acts 18:11, the Bible says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the Word of God among them. Teaching the Word of God. That's the purpose. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. It's the plan to hear why Jesus came. It's the plan to hear why He needed to come. It's the plan to teach you that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. The purpose was so that you could be saved, so that you could accept Christ as your Savior, so that you could have your sins forgiven and spend an eternity with Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. Search the Scriptures. Jesus challenged the, listen, Moses wrote of me and you didn't believe what Moses said. You gave him lip service, but not heart service. And then thirdly, he says this. Search the Scriptures, for in them, the Scriptures, that's the plan. You think you have eternal life, there's the purpose. And they are they which testify of me. And that's the person, Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Jesus. Jesus, He's the person. When Jesus spoke to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, He said this, or the Bible says this, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. He started all the way back in the books of Moses, Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then He went all through the prophets and He talked to the two on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember what it said after He was done that they said to themselves, oh, our heart burned within us when He spoke with us. That's the power of the Word of God. And that was the power of the Word of God in your life the day you accepted Christ. When 32 years ago, that was my declaration of independence. When 32 years ago, an old sinner that needed to be saved by grace came to know Christ as a Savior. And I threw off the shackles of sin and the shackles of bondage and the shackles of this world and looked to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that stood before Him endured the cross and endured the suffering and the shame just so that you and I could have eternal life. You see, that's the plan, ladies and gentlemen. That's the purpose, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the person, Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Christ this morning as your Savior, I plead and I beg with you to receive Him, because there is no greater life that you can have than to know Christ as your Savior. There is no greater freedom that you can have than to know Christ as your Savior. There is no greater liberty that you can have to know Christ as your Savior. And come what may, in this lifetime and in our lifetime, whatever happens around us, no one can take that freedom. No one can take that liberty. No one can take the joy of the Lord. No one can do that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, He loves you. He cares for you. He died for you on the cross 2,000 years ago. But it's your choice. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. The Scriptures say, except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. The Scriptures say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Scriptures say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scriptures say, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Scriptures say, the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Scriptures say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I want to tell you this morning, if you're here and you've never received Christ, I want to tell you that Jesus is willing and waiting to save you. But you must ask Him to be your Savior. You must admit to Him that you're a sinner. You must believe that Jesus died and paid for your sin. And by faith, you call upon Him. You call upon Him. This morning, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if you've never received Christ, in a minute we're going to stand and we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. But you come this morning. You come and you say, Preacher, I'm going to stand before this pulpit, and you come and say, Preacher, I've never received Christ. I want today to receive Him. It's an invitation. If you're a fellow one of our men, they'll pray with you, or they'll answer any questions that you might have what it means to be saved. If you're a gal, one of our ladies will talk with you and answer any questions that you might have. You may not have any questions. You may have understood it clearly. I do admit, Preacher, that I'm a sinner, and I do believe Jesus died for my sin. And today I want Him to be the Savior of my life. Won't you come? Won't you come? Father, bless the invitation. Move on the hearts and minds of men and women, boys and girls. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.